So this excerpt is from the part of the novel where Eugenia meets Manuel, and they meet at a demonstration in Santiago. And she's gone to the demonstration because the guy she's been seeing, who is a leftist organizer, but from a very wealthy landowner family, has told her that they should meet at the demonstration. And she's feeling a little uncomfortable about their relationship because he has been treating her badly. But she wants to go to the demonstration and figure out what's going on. So this is from that point, and it happens in Santiago in 1971. She careened off the bus at the Plaza Baquedano, trying unsuccessfully to straighten her brown leather jacket in the crush of college students. Once the herd had stampeded by, she stood for a moment on her own, facing the statue, and wondered how in the world she would find Sergio in this crowd. Already the tide of humanity swelled in all directions. Jostled back and forth by a new wave of dark-haired demonstrators, she felt her right ankle give way as the thin heel of her boot caught the edge of a cobblestone, pushing her down on one knee. Another young woman stopped to help her up, then strode off on sturdy hiking boots, hands free of bags or packages. As she watched the other girl disappear into the crowd, Eugenia realized she was overdressed yet again. She was trying so hard to fit in. She'd found her bomber-style jacket at one of the secondhand stores that were sprouting up all over the neighborhood near her university, filling the demand among her classmates for more worn-in, hippie styles. With the slightly faded jeans and black turtleneck, she was sure she'd hit the right note. But the boots were still too fancy, and they weren't good on the uneven cobblestones. She wished for the 100th time that Sergio had been willing to agree on a place to meet. "It'll be easy," he'd assured her vaguely. "Not that many people will show up before the afternoon." She had to admit he'd been more and more evasive lately. She'd lost count of the number of times he had kept her waiting for more than an hour. True, it was barely 10 in the morning and they'd agreed to meet at 10:30, but it was an unusually hot fall day and the place was overflowing. She could already feel a thin rivulet of sweat dripping down the middle of her back. All around her, the scent of young, unwashed bodies, musky underarms combined with the stench of days-old socks, mingled with cheap black tobacco and the occasional forbidden sweetness of marijuana. From the corner of her eye, she caught the fluttering of a red and black revolutionary flag hanging from the nose of the Baquedano statue's horse. Ironic, she thought, that General Manuel Baquedano, whom she knew from her history textbooks as yet another generic 19th century military hero from the War of the Pacific, should have his horse insulted in this way. This brought her attention more fully to the center of the plaza and to the three young men who seemed to be leading the chants. As she looked, two of them, sporting Che Guevara-like berets, descended the stairs of the monument and fanned out among the masses, holding bundles above their heads that looked like leaflets to give out. The single figure left at the top of the stairs held a megaphone in his right hand, while his left fist waved in the air with each chant. As he climbed further up to the base of the statue, the crowd roared with approval. He turned his back on her to whip up enthusiasm on the other side of the plaza, and a blaze of light hurtled through his red curls. Ricocheting through the crowd, it shone directly in her eyes. She stood waiting near the statue, shifting her weight from right to left, feeling the edge of her left boot rub sharply against her instep, hoping Sergio would show up quickly and end her humiliation. Instead, a group of folk singers in black ponchos moved forward and set up their microphones against the side of the statue. As they took out their bombos and guitars and began their first set, the red-haired student put down his megaphone and limped slowly down the stairs. He collapsed against the wrought iron fence at the bottom, supporting his weight on his lower back. Eugenia moved closer. "Excuse me," she said. "Compañero." He pushed his shoulders back as he straightened up. "Compañera." She shifted her weight back from left to right, trying to take the pressure off her left instep. she cleared her throat. I couldn't help noticing you were leading the crowd from up there, so I thought I... He leaned slightly sideways, right elbow resting casually on the fence. It's just that I was supposed to... Do you know Sergio Undurraga? She finally blurted out. He sat down on the ledge of the closest flower bed, shoulders hunching forward once again. Look, compañera, everyone knows Sergio, but he's not here yet. She held out her right hand. Eugenio Aldunate, it's just that he was supposed to meet me here at 10:30. Manuel Bronstein, he answered, standing up once again. He took Eugenia's hand in his much larger one. No offense, compañera, but anyone who knows Sergio knows he won't be here until at least 1 o'clock, longer if he runs into a cute pair of legs along the way. She jerked her hand from his grasp and turned to go. Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't mean... She stopped, her back still toward him. Oh, yes, you did. Do I look that stupid?